Hi, it's Tony Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Soon after acquiring the building, Josh discovered that some of the residents, maybe some is too light of a term, many of the residents seemed to still be there, although they had passed their physical living bodies. One of them is named Gracie.
Right. Now, that was the first big one that we really came across, because going into this room, now, that's another thing that I always tell people, you know, since that night of filming that we first stumbled into this building, we haven't touched anything. We've kept the building exactly the way we found it, which I feel kind of adds to the integrity of the place from an investigative standpoint anyway. But it was funny because doing EVPs and things of that nature, like EVP sessions specifically in that room, we were getting the name Gracie, consistently getting this name. And we're like, okay. Now, it wasn't then until later and acquiring the building for ourselves that we had that nursing staff walk through the building. Now, me being me, I didn't want to give them any information whatsoever of things that we had collected. So I was like, so whose room was this? If you can remember, you know, whose room? And they said that name. I'm like, get out of here. You know, so it was like one of those really cool things where history and evidence kind of shake hands there, so to speak. Now, they ended up telling us a lot about her background and how she was multiple personality, schizophrenic. Many times they would hear like male voices coming from Gracie's room, which the nursing station itself only sat maybe 15 feet away, so very much in earshot. But hearing a male's voice coming from a female's bedroom, that's some cause for concern, and so they would have to obviously check that out. But when they went in there, they would find it was only her, but she could shift and manipulate her voice to make it sound male. Another interesting thing that they told us was one evening there was three nurses that sat with her for a single hour, and within the hour documented 13 separate personalities, which is medically unheard of. The different medical professionals that we've talked to specifically about DID and that disease itself, they said, no, you're doing really fine if you have, you know, two or three personalities. 13 is almost unheard of, honestly. It also kind of makes you then wonder if this small town facility was the proper fit for her. It's kind of interesting, but we do know that she seems to be
with a story like that. It makes you wonder if maybe there was something more going on with her than just that disease.
And I, yeah, exactly. Many times, she was quoted as saying, the devil's coming to get me, the devil's coming to get me. And this freaked out the staff, obviously. You hear somebody saying things like this. It does. It kind of begs the question, you know, is there something else going on that we're not exactly privy to?
What have your experiences been in the building with her today, now that she's passed, but still seeming to be there?
One thing that's very interesting that we've kind of started to see this trend is she seems to be drawn more to male investigators for whatever reason that may be. Guys, especially if gentlemen are sitting in her wheelchair, if they are lying on her bed, which again, we openly invite people to do this. They will feel pressure on their legs, tugging on their pants, and sometimes it feels like she is trying to grab your private parts. The only time that we've got like her voice or anything like that has just been specifically on recordings. Now I will say, sometimes after having a really good like EVP session, or you're experiencing a lot within that room, like personally I've gone to then leave the room and you hear like two very loud bangs on what almost sound like the door frame itself, almost like don't leave, you know, we're not done here, come back. It's I don't know, it's almost sad to me, like she's just lonely, you know.
Another very sad story of a residence at the Milburn Manor is of a woman who began to obsessively believe that her husband no longer found her attractive. Trying to get her help, he admitted her to the hospital to try and correct this belief.
Yeah, as far as we can tell, and everything that we've been told, is she was about in her mid-30s. Apparently, she was also very attractive, a very attractive woman. But yeah, like you said, she thought, my husband doesn't love me anymore. He doesn't find me attractive. And this became quite the obsession, to the point where he did admit her into this building, where then she would stand at the sink looking into the mirror in there and pluck the hair out of her head one by one. I mean, it's terrible. It's gut-wrenching, you know, to think of somebody doing that to themselves. And I'm sure that her husband never thought those thoughts, you know, about her, and loved her very much. And that's why he was trying to get her the proper care that she needed. It's terrible. There's also in that room, which is just room 7, we hear a lot of like a weird moaning type crying sound. We also smell this very, and it's very sporadic, the smell. It comes and it goes, but it almost smells like body odor, like somebody hasn't worn deodorant in a few days. And again, it's very sporadic and it comes and it goes. The door itself to room 7 also will open and close. There was around Halloween of just last year, so not that long ago, really, we had a group of 45 people in this building, which is almost pushing it to the limit. But we were all back in what we call the nursing home wing back there, and 45 people witnessed this door open on command. It was really quite something to see.
I was beginning to wonder at first, would this be a conscious entity or a residual entity? From what you're telling me, it almost seems to lean more towards the conscious area. Would you agree?
It does seem to be more conscious in nature. Especially when you ask, you know, to open, and then you ask her to close, and she complies with that, and it happens. Sometimes the lights themselves in that room will turn on and off. Now, I know the building quite well, and I also know there's absolutely nothing wrong with that wiring. It's brand new. So that switch needs to be physically manipulated.
Not everything at the manor is friendly or kind or peaceful or just going about its daily routine. There appears to be some dark energy there as well.
It seems to be. You know, up in the attic itself is kind of an anomaly to us. We have not been able to been told ever what the attic was ever used for. Now, when you're up in the attic, I would suggest that the room itself had some form of purpose. There is paint and trim and, you know, baseboards, moldings, things like that. I would not, if it was just used for storage, I wouldn't finish a room that was just going to be used specifically for storage. Even an old chimney that sits up there has a paint job on it. Now, the chimney itself was knocked down because it was the cause of a fire which there is still fire damage up there, which you can see. And we're actually currently working with the fire department to see if we can pinpoint an actual date when that fire happened. They have records that go back to the 30s, and so they've been doing some digging for us, which is always appreciated. But there is something up in that attic that does not enjoy the company of people. I usually say that people are good for 20 to 30 minutes before they will begin to feel disoriented, physically ill, nauseous in some way. And I usually tell people, and this is me personally as well, just walking down the stairs into the hallway, and it's usually that feeling will pass. That's usually enough to do it. We've had plenty of people toss their cookies, so to speak, up in the attic, which makes for a super fantastic day for me, like having to clean that stuff up. It's crazy up there. So whatever or whoever is up there, not enjoy the company of people, he will tell you, sometimes quite audibly, to leave, get out, sometimes in not so nice terms. Basically do anything that he can to get you back down those stairs. Now, he'll also beg you for alcohol and cigarettes and things of that nature. Very addictive type of personality. Almost textbook.
How do these requests come about?
Yeah, usually it's just via EVPs. Sometimes even like a GeoBox or GeoPort or Spirit Box of some sort. And you hear these requests. Other times, quite audibly up there, you will hear what sounds like growling. And it's a very loud, unsettling type of sound. You'll hear scratching behind the walls. Now, it's interesting because you can see behind the walls. You can see there's like a crawl space area back there, and you can quite clearly see on either side of this room there's crawl spaces. And so me personally, first time I heard, you know, the growling and the scratching, I thought it was an animal. An old building, it's very feasible that an animal would be in here. So I've now personally been back in this crawl space area of the attic 6 separate times, looking for things that would suggest something is or was alive, whether that be carcass or droppings or anything. The only things that I have found up there are very personal items, playing cards, tobacco pouches, keys, crushed up packs of cigarettes, beer cans, things of that nature, like very personal items, which I then take out of there and I place on display in our little office area over here.
Josh, take us to some of the other rooms that are at the Melvern Manor and some of the other guests or residents. I guess you're more of the guest there now that still occupy these halls.
There are a couple. So there is this lady that we call Susie. Now, everything that former nursing staff was, you know, legally able to tell us about Susie is that she was a middle-aged patient, but mentally speaking, she was probably closer to around the age of 8, maybe 10 years of age. So we've, in her room, found a lot of coloring books, activity books, crayons, you know, things of that nature. It's really quite something. We always, invite people to color in these books or write a note or whatever in these books. She seems to really enjoy interacting with people. So much so, even she will manipulate pages in the books, which is quite something to see a page turn on its own. Very interesting stuff. Now, what's fascinating to me is the activity itself seems to be contained to that room. Many of the other, what I call like resident spirits here, are fairly transient and will follow you throughout this building and kind of mess with you all day or night. She stays put, and we're not quite sure why that is. However, EVPs and things of that nature that we've been collecting now just over the past couple months have suggested that something may be keeping her there. She doesn't want to leave that room. She's scared of something that's out just in that hallway there. So it kind of makes you wonder what's really going on. One of my personal favorites is who we call Hank or Henry. And I always say it kind of depends on the day and what he wants to be called. But I just call him Hank. Now he, from everything that everybody has told us, he was quite up there in age. However, he's also your very stereotypical grumpy old man. He would sit out on the front porch and throw rocks at kids and stuff. Like, he's just not really a nice guy at all. Now, another thing that we also know is he has a very big problem with females. For whatever reason that may be, a very big problem with females. Now, in Hank's room specifically, again, everything is how we found it. And in one of his dresser drawers, it was full of clothes. And so the clothes that we've been able to kind of deduce now is, like, the clothes seem to be kind of an antecedent for activity, meaning you mess with his clothes and he's going to get upset in some way, shape, or form. So I always invite ladies, if they want to elicit some kind of a response, to maybe try on an article of clothing or two, maybe make light of the fact that they are wearing his clothes. But even the simple act of taking those clothes and folding them up nicely and placing them nicely back in the drawer is enough to set him off. But a lot of vocal and physical activity goes on up there.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars. It will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.